We don't have to depend on... I don't know how Jesus did it, but He talked to multitudes here on earth without a PA system. I think that's awesome, don't you? I don't know what Spencer will do in heaven, but maybe he'll be able to do that psychologically, turn us up and down. I'm not sure. But anyway, too many buttons. We're going to talk about building healthy relationships. How many knows we're living in an environment today that can be really difficult to build a healthy relationship? We sat at the table with Bill and Millie Saturday. They went down to Rush Springs, and we had to go to a funeral, so we didn't get to go on our bikes. But we went ahead and ate breakfast with them yesterday, and I sat down, and my wife is over there, and she saw Bill and Millie sitting there, and she just stopped and table for two, and I don't know what she was doing. I mean, he's got a wife like that, you know. And so I thought, what is she doing? So I just went over and sat down with Bill and Millie, and then she came over, and then I found out what she was doing. She said, well, I thought other people were coming, and she just didn't want to take their seat. But she says to Bill, isn't somebody coming? Is he safe? He said, they're safe for you. I mean, that's just a difference of personality. When I see you sitting at a restaurant, and you're by yourself, and there's two open seats, I think I'm special, and that's for me. Somebody's like that. You think that's for you. Yeah. And then the rest of you are like my wife, and you think, well, they must be reserved for somebody. I don't want to just intrude, but you're my friend, right? And if you're going to have a friend, you must show yourself what? Friendly. So, you know, and if they'd been reserved for somebody else, well, they should have got there before me. And so they said, how you doing? I said, well, I'm just putting up my aggravating wife, you know. And because out in the parking lot, guess what? We parked up behind Bill's three-wheeler and went on our bike, and we parked in there. And she said, well, you can't park here. I thought, well, who made you traffic cop? You can't park here. And I said, well, how come I can't park here? Well, we're sticking out, the back of our bike sticking out, and there was plenty of room. I said, that's silly, I can park here. No, you cannot park here. So I don't know why I let her overrule me, but I do. So I backed my bike up, and I said, you're just something else, aren't you? You know, we went around the building and found another parking spot. Anybody have a fellowship like that with your spouse but me? The rest of you liars, you can come to the altar in a minute. And this is with the woman that I love most in the world. I mean, we do have a good relationship, but, I love her with all my heart, and so we have an underlying knowing. And that's what will sustain a marriage, isn't it? When you have the underlying knowing is, you know, I know I'm acting like I hate you, but you know down deep, right, under the foundation, in the biblical sense, I said I do forever, for better, for worse, and it's worse, and I still do. We're still on, right? Yeah. Yeah, she's my helper. She's my everything, really. Her and Jesus, man. When I got Jana and Jesus, I'm in good shape. And Jesus is always with me, and she's with me, but sometimes she's with me and she's right in my face, you know? And I'm just saying it's hard sometimes, even with the person you love most in the world and that you know you're going to spend the rest of your life with, right? And then we lose the loved one like Ronnie yesterday, and we realize how fortunate we are. And some of you that's lost a spouse or a mom or a brother, you know that you better have a good relationship with them, because you don't know when it's going to be the last conversation you have. Ronnie was going down through the middle of Sulphur, a little town, and a guy that was intoxicated here illegally came, they estimate, 90 miles an hour out of an addition, hit them in the side, knocked him out of the vehicle and into a tree and killed him, just like that. So very unexpected. People tell me when we ride our bike, boy, those things are dangerous. Well, so is your car. You know, we don't have assurance of tomorrow. So what we need to do is just stay in the grace of God, live the best we can live according to this, as close as we can live to this, but to have healthy relationships. You know, they tell us when you get married now, they tell us, well, you know, you got a 50-50% chance you're not going to make it. I mean, that's what we start with. That's our base. You know, 50% of the marriages don't make it. So we got that. And then for some of you that's at retirement age, you know, you thought you were going to have a lot more, didn't you, when you got to this point? Your 401ks and the stock market. And so all these things just, you know, add up. And then we look at all the crime and the, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't even lock our doors out in the country. You know, you could walk up to our house and just come on in and things. How many knows we live in a different world today? And so, and then I heard a report, you know, doctors the other day said the only way you can get vitamin D really to the is go out in the sun, you know, and it'll kill you, but you need to go out there and get some sun. That's what they say. Go out in the sun, and because it's the only way you can get vitamin D. And if you have a vitamin D deficiency, you're going to get sick. And so go out in the sun and get some skin cancer, and it'll kill you. 20 minutes. Yeah. You know what that is? That's a biblical principle. It says moderation. Moderation in it. And that's what God teaches. And we make it complex and we make it hard, but I'm just saying all this to say that we're fed so many things that we don't know what's right and wrong. And that's why we need this. And so the first part of having a healthy relationship is you to be healthy. Did you get that? The first key in having a healthy relationship is you have to be healthy. Because if you're not healthy, how many know this is going to affect whatever relationship you have with whomever it may be? That's just a principle or a law of the Word of God. You know, if you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. See, that's a principle from the Word of God out of Proverbs. And so we look at stuff like that and we think, well, how do I do that? Well, you just have to figure it out. You have to put other verses together and other scriptures together with it. And what I'd like for us to do today is just kind of set a base to say, before I'm going to build a healthy relationship, I'm going to be in shape to build a healthy relationship. Because here's what I know. If you're moody, you have a lot of problems with healthy relationships. You know, if people say about you, oh, you're a, you know, sister's a moody person, or dad's a moody guy, or in fact, Jana has been helping me this week about my tone of voice. How many want to bring your husbands up for a class? Isn't that funny? She says, you've just been using a tone with me. And I'm like, what? Not that tone right there. Right there. And I thought, well, I've been married 38 years and now she's just now telling me I got a tone in my voice, you know. And so she's been helping me this week with that. We've had fun with that, you know. Oh, there's the tone, you know. And is this the tone? You know, but it's to build a healthy relationship. When somebody says that's close to you, you're using a tone with me. How many knows you better be healthy? Because if you're not, it's going to escalate whatever you're using. How many knows what I'm talking about? Whatever is coming out, if you're not healthy, it really doesn't help for them to tell you, you know. It just makes it worse. It just rises up. And so that's why it's important for you to be healthy. Now, if you're healthy and somebody says, you know, you're using a tone with me, you can say, well, I'm sorry. What tone would you like? Well, I like a more loving tone. Okay. And so when we were arguing with one day about the tone this last week, and she said, just shh, shh. And so we were walking the track. We were walking the track yesterday, and I said, or day before, when it was, and I said, okay, now I'm working on my tone, right? And she said, yeah, and you're getting better. You've done really good this week. I said, okay, I want you to work on this. Shh, shh. I don't want Now, some of you ladies, if your husband told you to work on that, shh, shh, that would really, they know better. How many, well, you can't raise your hand, but. How many would, you just know, I wouldn't tell my wife that, you know, secretly. You and Jesus know, you know, right now. I wouldn't tell her that, you know. And so she said, well, I sometimes just, you know, and I said, I know, but how I am, but you know, just that, you need to work on that like I'm working on my tone. She said, okay, that's fair. See. And then we went ahead and enjoyed our walk. But some of you are not to the place where you could even do that, you know. And we have a great marriage. We do. I love being around her. We had an awesome week, and as much as I could, I was off with her, and then when she'd go shopping, I'd do my studies or, you know, catch up and stuff. So I tried to accommodate her as much as I could in what she wanted to do. And we had a great week while she was off, but it's hard. All I'm saying is it's hard, isn't it, to build healthy relationships in this environment we're in, where we're stressed out about, will we have our jobs next week, and what's the economy going to do, and, you know, is terrorists going to attack again, and you know, all these things that we have to deal with. So turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Because the first part I want to make mention is about building a healthy philosophy. How many knows that you really have a philosophy in your life right now, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, and then you have a philosophy in all different kinds of areas where it's healthy or unhealthy. For instance, my philosophy on health is I like to work out and walk, and I don't, the way I measure usually is by my belt. I learned that from my mother and my wife. My belt has a notch on it, and if that notch is too tight or I have to go with the next notch, I know I need to cut back. Now you say, well, that's not a very good philosophy. Well, that's mine. What's yours? Some of you lost your belt, didn't you? You know, you just need, but I could tell this morning we've ate more. Janet told me, she said this week, she said, I gotta quit hanging out with you because you eat more. I said, well, I didn't force you to eat anything. She said, well, you put it in front of me and I have to eat, you know, so, but I noticed my belt. That's why I told her, I said, my belt, you know, it's in the notch. It's in the notch that it belongs, but that's my philosophy. That's my principle or my value of how I gauge where I need to be. And it's simple, isn't it? But that's my philosophy. That's how I gauge where I need to be physically. And so we know we need to cut back or walk a little more or whatever we need. But it's a philosophy that works for me to keep my weight at an area I like. See, that's my philosophy. And you need to have a healthy philosophy on whatever area you're dealing with. If it's your emotions, you need to have a healthy philosophy about, you know, if you're trying to curb your temper, because you have a temper, and when people say things to you and it shoots up, then you have a terrible philosophy in that area. You need to tweak your philosophy. Look at the Scripture, see what the Scripture says, and then tweak it according to the Scripture. And how many knows before long, you'll have a lot better attitude than what you used to have, because you're aware of it, and you're tweaking whatever is out of balance, whatever is out of order. And all I'm trying to do is get us healthy, see? That's what my wife was doing and I was doing with her, that was tweaking that little thing, that little annoying thing. That, how many knows if you don't tweak those little annoying things, after they grind for so long, they can come big. That's where divorce comes in usually. It's just a tweak. They don't tweak the grind and before long it builds. Or it can be on the other end. You don't tweak the romantic side and before long you just drift apart and one of the mates, you know, they find someone else. Because how many knows, we're tuned into affection. We want affection. And so that's why we need to have a great relationship with the Father so he can fill our affectionate needs. How many knows, if you have a relationship, close, intimate relationship with the Father, a lot of your intimate needs are met. They just are. You know, every day I have conversations with Him all during the day about this and that and where I'm at and what we're doing and ask Him about things and talk to Him and do the devotions through the Word. That's an intimate relationship. And so it fills voids that Jana can't fill in my life, and she has a personal relationship with Jesus, and so He can fill areas in her life that I can't fill. And same way with your parents. You know, yesterday my Aunt Margie lost her son that just doted over her. I mean, you know, Ronnie was a hairdresser, and he'd always fix her hair. He's cut her hair since he's a young boy. And just, he was a mama's boy, as they'd call him, and just doted over her and helped her and run errands for her. And yesterday, her world just fell apart because she lost her son. When we have a crisis like that, our philosophy has to change a little bit. Our values and things, because we put so much value and importance on this relationship. And then when it's gone, how many knows, that leaves a big void. And you have to do something about that. So we have to examine our philosophy and say, well, you know, my dependence was here, but now this is gone. I can't depend on that anymore. So now I'm going to have to look in the Word and develop a different philosophy. You know, mom's gone, my husband's gone, my wife's gone, my child has died. And you have to develop a healthy philosophy, some kind of moral and principles, values that you have as a platform for how you're going to make it and how you're going to operate. And I tell you, stable people have that. People that you admire that just strong and stable, and they have that underlying philosophy of what I'm going to do in this area. Yesterday at the funeral, something happened. It never happened to us before. We was at the funeral. They were just getting ready to close. The church was packed out, people standing along the walls. They had a balcony. It was full in this little town. So I thought, man, he's touched a lot of lives. And probably his philosophy was love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great one, isn't it? Just to have that as a core. And that's how we build healthy philosophies, is take this out of the Scripture and stand on those principles. I heard a statement the other day. It says, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, principles never do. I thought, that's a good statement, isn't it? Because what happens is, the things that you value and you stand on, things like salvation, I'm in Christ, I'm in grace. That's not going to change, is it? And so, whatever happens, but we're standing there, and we're out in the foyer, trying to look in to see, and here comes a guy, and he's probably in his mid-60s or so, and he's a pretty thin guy, and you can tell when he's walking like this, and you can tell nobody's home. You know what I'm saying? In his eyes, when I looked in his eyes and I made connection with his eyes, I knew there was something terribly wrong with him, and so he walked right here. He's about right in here, and at this area, and Jana's standing right here, and so he's really kind of headed toward her. And Hammy knows I'm her protector, and we can't really go anywhere. So I just reach out and I put my arms around him. I said, "Where are you headed, buddy?" You know, and I said, "What do we need to do here to help you?" And I don't know if it's his wife or somebody's with him. She said, "He don't know where he's at. He don't know where he's going." And so there was a chair right there, and so I turned him around. I said, "They said he needs to sit down." And the lady was sitting there, and she just kept sitting there. And I said, "We need your chair now." And she said, "Okay." And so we took her over and we set him down in her chair. And there was a nurse there, and she loosened his collar and started patting him and stuff. But other people in front of me, they just like this, you know. And the reason I tell you that is because what would you do? What you will do is whatever your philosophy of helping others is. See, everybody in front of us didn't know what to do, so they did nothing. Now, part of my philosophy is, if there's something wrong, let's fix it. Well, you're not in charge. You're not in charge of him. Well, I am if he's in my space. He walked into my space. And all I'm saying is, how you react to everything you need to examine is a part of your buildup, a part of your philosophy. Whether you know it or not, whether you recognize it, whether you call it that or not, it's what you believe in. It's the values that you stand on. That's what builds your whole philosophy of how you act and think. So we set him down, and somebody called the ambulance, and they started. And so in a little while, somebody got my watch. The nurse got my watch, and she took his pulse, and she asked his wife, what is his normal pulse? And they called the ambulance, and they came and got him, and we helped him up. And I just said a little prayer over him for as he was going out. And that's what I would do, because that's my makeup. That's my philosophy. If I see you're in trouble, I'm going to step out and help you. I'd probably get shot quicker than you if there's something going on around me that wasn't right. Because my philosophy is we need to step up and help where there's help needed. You know, see what I'm saying? And so all I'm saying is, the values and the morals, the principles that guide you, examine those, look at those, and tweak those every once in a while so you can go a little higher. So we can go a little better. So my tone is not like it was last week. See? So your tone isn't. Your unfaithfulness in areas is not like it was last week. Are you with me? So let's read. And how many brought your Bible today? Okay. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. You know why I do that on Sundays? It's because I want you to have a philosophy that says I can do all this, whatever this is. Huh? How many believes it? Romans chapter 12. And watch, this is just a kind of a mixture. I wanted to show you how Paul is talking to the church in Rome. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your" what? "Reasonable service." It's your reasonable service. How many knows that? He's just talking about being sold out. That's a part of his philosophy, is I'm like a living sacrifice. sacrifice. It's kind of like the pig and the chicken. They're walking along one day, and the chicken says to the pig, sees a poor farmer and his family, and says, "Let's just, how about providing breakfast for this family this morning? Some bacon and eggs." And the pig said, "Well, that's fine for you, but that's a total commitment for me." Huh? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to the world. That's really hard today with every communication device we have. My son is on, I forget, it's Facebook or MySpace. You remember what he's on? Or is it all the above? I don't know. And all of our relatives yesterday that live in that little town were talking about, "Your son is such a mess, and he said this," and they're communicating. He's in Spain, and they're in Sulphur, Oklahoma, and he's just communicating to all of his little cousins, and we have all this access everywhere we go. Our cell phones we're tied to, and billboards, and commercials, and it's all coming in, and it's hard not to be transformed to the world, isn't it? And they all have a product that's made for you because you deserve it. And we're going to help you get it with easy payments. How about that? And then you get all those easy payments and they get hard and it messes you up. But you have to have a philosophy. You have to have a financial philosophy. My financial philosophy is show me the bottom line and I know what I got to do and what I got to pay. It's a terrible philosophy. But it works for me. And I probably got more in the bank right now than I've ever had. But it works for me. I have a philosophy, financial philosophy, that says, that's just the way I am. Just show me the bottom line. I don't care about all the details. At one point, Jan and I did different checkbooks because our philosophy was different. And I don't encourage that at all. And we don't do that anymore. But years ago, we did. But that was my philosophy. And I never sat down, and I hate to admit this, but I never sat down once in the years that I kept a checkbook and ever, what do you call that, where you reconcile. I never did that. I was overdrawn twice. Once I put money in a different bank that I thought that belonged to this bank. Yeah. I had an account. And I had that covered because, you know, if I overdraw, they just take it from the savings and transfer it. So I had that covered because my philosophy is not very good. But it works for me. I know how much I have to operate on. When they give a financial report to me at the church, all I want to see is the bottom line. What do we got to operate on? Because if you come to me and we say we need this, I can say yes or no. Just like that, I'll say yes or no. Because I know we got it or we don't. And that's a terrible philosophy, but it works for me. I'm not a detail guy. I hate details. You know, if I'm going to charge that hill, let's go charge and we'll, are we taking guns? I don't know. Pick up something. We're charging the hill. Hurry up. See? And that's terrible, isn't it? But that's the way I am. But it works for me. It works for me. And that's the way I'm wired. And so, but I do have a financial philosophy and I know what I'm got where and what I'm planning to do with that and what I'm paying and what I'm, you know, but it's a philosophy that works for me, but it mostly is right here, you know. But it's a philosophy. And I know a part of mine, and what I really appreciate about being transformed to the kingdom on this is I need to give to the kingdom first what's due the kingdom. See, that better be a part of your giving philosophy, is you need to give first to the kingdom what is part of the kingdom. Because if you don't, he'll take it now or he'll take it later. And it can be in different forms. And so that should be a part of your philosophy and your finances. That should be a part of your philosophy and what you watch, what you allow yourself to see, what you allow yourself to read, you know. Because he says we're talking about a living sacrifice and not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. I mean, this will transform you and me if we just let it. My philosophy used to be when I was young, growing up as a kid, if you hate me, I hate you. I'm just being honest with you. You know, you hate me, I hate you. If you want to cut me, I'll try to cut you back. And then when I read in here where he said you got to love your enemies and pray for them and all that, I thought, well, that sucks. That's what I thought when I first read that. I mean, thought that, you know. You never say it, but that's what you thought, you know. That just sucks. Do I have to do all that? And then my second thought was, so-and-so wasn't alive when you wrote this, was he? You know, that then I had to remember, we're all created in God's image. People I love and people I don't appreciate very much. We're all made in God's image. And then, so I had to change my philosophy, and now I have to say, I don't care who you are, God made you, you're made fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, and it's my part to love you with all that I have. Now, you may not be very lovable or have somebody in your life that's not very lovable, so what do you do with them? Well, you love them with all you can by faith. See, that's my philosophy on loving people like that. But what I found out was, he said that for me, and operating that philosophy, I found out that what he was doing that for my benefit. When I figured that out, that freed me. I thought, wow, he wants me to forgive my enemies because it frees me. And to live in that freedom was just a great experience for me. For all you that are trapped hating someone, I'm telling you, he's not trying to give favor to your enemies. He's trying to give blessing to you. And and when I've changed my philosophy and I saw that, I thought, man, this is great. And then I didn't go to bed every time somebody's name was mentioned that I had something, you know, we'd had a difference about it. My blood pressure didn't go up and I didn't lose sleep and I didn't grip my teeth and all that kind of stuff. Because my philosophy had changed. I took on his philosophy of loving my enemies, and it brought so much freedom to me. And I thought, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Somebody asks you, how you doing? What do you say? Huh? How you doing today? I'm doing fine. Well, what does that mean? Are you really fine? Not really, but I'm programmed to say I'm fine. So there, I'm fine, okay? Here lately I've been saying, that people say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing awesome. How are you? Because I'd rather be doing more than fine. How many would like to be doing better than fine? Well, say it. Just start off saying it. Change your philosophy. And if you need to kickstart yourself, just say, well, used to I was fine, but I'm getting better than that now. See, it's just planting little things in your mind that says, I'm going to go from where I'm at. I'm going to change my philosophy and I'm going to have a better life. How many just like to have a better life? We saw a sign on a car, the front of the car. We were sitting somewhere eating, and we looked out, and it said, I'd like to have just a little bit more than what I've got. on the front of a really nice car, I'd like to have a little bit more than what I've got. How many can just say, oh, man, that's me. A little bit more than what I've got. Well, it's hard to be awesome, if you're wanting a little more than what you got. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting, you know, having vision and dreams. I love that stuff. And I'll talk about that because there's a key ingredient. If you don't have, you can't be healthy. You can't have healthy relationships. I'm going to give you two of those that if you'll use them, I think it'll just change your whole outlook. But so he's saying, transforming your mind. And then verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, first of all, he says you need to have a philosophy that says I'm going to die to self, being transformed, being a living sacrifice. Now he's talking about not to think too much of yourself. You ever been a crowd in a room and somebody, they're kind of looking in your direction and they whisper. What do you think? They're talking about me. Well, you shouldn't think so much of yourself. They probably don't care about you. Aren't we pitiful? We're pitiful, aren't we? When I first started preaching and people would lean over and say something, I thought, what are they saying about me? I wanted to snap my fingers. Hey, what are you saying about me? But, you know, wasn't that brave or stupid or something. But I changed my philosophy, and when I see people leaning over now, they're probably saying, I wish you'd hurry up, I'm hungry, you know. That was 90%. But here's what I changed, my whole outlook changed when I did this. And I thought, here's what I'm going to do. whenever somebody leans over and says, and I'm preaching, I always think, man, that guy can preach, can he? It doesn't change. They're saying we need to go to lunch, we should hurry. But it changes me because my philosophy changed and it went from giving you grace and quit suspecting you about something, saying something against me. That's freeing, isn't it? That's freeing. See? And that's all he's saying here. He said, you know, don't think so highly of yourself. In other words, God's given you a measure of faith and operate on that measure of faith that God's given you, whether it's to preach or sing or, you know, Kayla got up this morning and sang all by herself. Well, I would have helped her if she had asked. How many would have helped her? Look at all the helpers you could have had this morning if you had just asked. But didn't she do a good job? Yeah. Beautiful voice. Did a great job. But she gave value to all the people that were missing, didn't she? You know, they're all vacationing and they're not here. And so I'm singing this morning. But she gave value to all that was missing this morning. See, and that's what it's saying. Value what you think and what you think and what you think along with what I think. When you're sitting at a table and you're telling stories, I mean, you just can't wait till it's your turn. That's the way I am. That's the way some of you are. I know I could point you out if you want me to. But you know who you are. And then all you quiet people know who we are. You think we talk all the time and we never, you know. But that's a part of us saying, you know what, your story is as important as mine. Your trouble today or your victory, your weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. See, that means we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought and to give, when you're in my presence, I'm in your presence, to give equal time and of what your concerns are and what mine is share. That's about sharing, isn't it? That's about giving and receiving. So don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Be humble. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. And all he's talking about is value others. A part of our philosophy should be, and this is where Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. To me, that's one of the most difficult scriptures in the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Now I think what offsets that scripture some is when it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. One guy said, do unto others before they do it unto you. That's not a good philosophy, is it? But using, we're all members. We all have a function. We all need each other. You know, we're all a necessary part. So this is in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Everybody say use them. Use your gifts. The most fulfilled people on the planet, and I say this all the time, but I'm going to repeat, the most fulfilled people on the planet are the people that are using the gifts God gave them. I see it all the time. It comes more real to me every day. The people that are using the gifts that God gave them are the most fulfilled people on the planet. It says, use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And it's just saying, whatever your gift is, play on that. A part of our philosophy should be, this is my part, this is what I do, I don't have to try to be somebody else, and that is so freeing when you can just be you. And you can just be you. I heard a guy say one time, he invited this young evangelist years ago to his church to speak, and said, and when he talked one way, and when he got up in the pulpit, said he sounded exactly like Billy Graham. I never saw anybody do such a great impression of Billy Graham. Every word, and he said it just was amazing to him. Well, he had to get the evangelism, and he was imitating a great man. But how many know, just be yourself. Use the gift God gave you in the fashion that God gave to you. If you're visiting this morning, you have an opinion of my presentation. You like it or you don't, or you're ready to go home or you're not, or you know, you, because this is who I am. The ones that chose to stay evidently get something from it. I guess. Or your mama made you come or something. That was a good place to say amen. I mean, if I don't show up next Sunday, what are you going to do? You know, I know you'll get Adam up there and get some good preaching, right? All right. But be who you are. Be who God called you to be. So it's all saying is, you know what, use your gift. Use your gift. Use your gift. I don't know what my gift is. Well, come see me and I'll show you how to discover what your gifts are. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. There's if you don't have a statement, a philosophy statement, there's a great one right there. You know what? I'm just going to love without my motives are going to be pure. My heart's going to be pure and everything I look at, and I'm going to abhor evil. I'm going to cling to what is good. Make an effort. I'm taking steps, you know. But all this is about philosophy. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So he's saying, be thoughtful. You know, don't just tolerate, but be thoughtful of each other. Don't you love it when you come in the presence of somebody so thoughtful of you? I forget who we was talking about this weekend, one of the family, but they said, you know, he always makes you feel important when you come into his presence. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know what he's saying here? Have a disciplined life. In all the areas of your life, have a disciplined life. Just moderation, like we're talking about, have a moderation. You know, you can enjoy a lot of things in moderation. You know, they say, well, coffee's bad for you. Well, if coffee is bad for you, Mark Caldwell would be in heaven right now. He's a coffee addict, isn't he? He loves his coffee. But you know what? One of the good points is when we're in Guatemala, he likes to get up early. He'd get up early and make coffee and bring me a cup. I'm so glad he loves coffee. Yeah. But that's what they say, that, you know, coffee will kill you. You know, all the stuff we enjoy will kill you. You know, moderation. Just use moderation. Be a disciplined person and enjoy whatever. On my philosophy in eating, part of my philosophy is ribs and steak. But I don't eat ribs and steak like I used to. I eat maybe a couple ribs and don't do the fries. And see, it's a philosophy that works for me, and it keeps me healthier, so I can be build better relationships. See? It's a philosophy. So whatever area. In fact, whenever I heard a story of some, you know, when I was talking about the guy at the funeral that came up and looked like a zombie and his eyes were fixed and all. I heard it's kind of sad, but it's a hilarious story this week about, two country boys. They were out hunting and walking along and down the trail, and one of them just, boom, just fell over dead. Or he looked dead. He's looking at him, and he couldn't see any movement at all, and for no apparent reason. He just fell in his tracks. And so he had his cell phone, and his friend punches his cell phone, and he gets a hold of 911, and they said, 911. He said, Bubba's dead! Bubba's dead! Bubba's dead! He said, sir, you just need to calm down. We can help you, but you've got to calm down. So now the first thing we need to do is make sure Bubba's dead. And so there was a silence on the end of the phone to hear, BAM! And he come back on the phone and said, okay, Bubba's dead, now what do I do? How many wants to go hunting with a man with that philosophy? I'll just do whatever you tell me. When I'm excited, I'll just do whatever you tell me. Yeah. Like yesterday at that funeral, a lot of people just didn't know what to do, so they did nothing. They didn't try to help him. They just, You know, but your philosophy in crisis times will help you have some sense of direction. You know, if you, it's a biblically based. It's kind of like Jesus when he said, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." And I thought, well, what joy is in that? It's his philosophy. His joy was in helping his children come from where they are to the kingdom, out of the pits of hell to the kingdom. For the joy that was set before him, he endured pain for me and you. Huh? Aren't you glad he had that kind of philosophy to help me and you pull us from the pits of hell and eternal damnation and put us on firm ground with God? All because of his philosophy. I don't do anything, he said, unless I hear the Father. And then he argued with the Father. Didn't really argue with the Father, but man, he was on his face and his sweat became like great drops of blood when he said, "I really don't want to do this." But his philosophy, his life, his values, his morals, his principles held him where he could when he heard from the Father and said, "No, son, this one you got to go through. This one you got to go through." You know. Christy needs a Savior. Dorothy needs a Savior. Wow. Thank God for those kind of flaws. And so when he calls us to go through things, we need to be affectionate to one another, cling to what is good, abhor what is evil. And this whole chapter, let's finish it reading and we'll wind it up. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. And one of the keys I want to give you next Sunday is hope. When I prepared this series, I thought, that is a strange thing for building strong relationships. But the more I went into it, the deeper I delved into it, I thought, and I'll just give you the seed from sermon next Sunday. But you think about your life without hope. You think about your life in any area without hope. You're a terrible person, aren't we? Because it brings us down. It does all this. So he says, you know what? He says, man, You better rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. And that's something I'm working on right there. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, these are all discipline acts. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. That's having a forgiving heart. That's a forgiving philosophy. Man, I need to forgive so I can be forgiven. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's about compassion in it. I love to rejoice, and I feel sorry for people. But some of you, man, when somebody's hurting and you're around them, Jerry Nicely is a good example. I don't know how many of you know Jerry. They're not here today because her health or his health keeps them out of church a lot, which they love to come to church. But she can't talk about. She had a friend named Molly that passed away this last week. She didn't get to go to the funeral. But I heard Jana on the phone with her, and she said, "Well, now Jerry, let's just don't talk about Molly because she's so compassionate. She can't talk about her friends going on and stuff without that compassion just coming out, even when she tells you about them." Wow. But he tells people like that that's got such a compassionate gift that affect them in such a way. He says, "You better exercise that gift with cheerfulness." Because he knows if you don't, if you have that kind of compassion inside of you, he knows it's going to drag you down with whomever in the pain and the sorrow and the hurt. So he gives a little clue there. He says, you need to practice this gift with cheerfulness. Verse 16, do the same, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, God knows sometimes you've done all you can do. You know, on your side it's good, and you're in good shape. I appreciate him putting that in there. Live peaceably with all men. In other words, be a peace promoter. A peace promoter says, you might disagree, somebody might hurt you, but a peace promoter says, What do I say that's going to promote healing and restoration? Where normally we would want to just say what's on our mind because we're hurt and things. Be a peace promoter. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And don't enjoy that statement too much. But it is comforting. I am glad he put it in there, aren't you? That if I do something that's a blessing, that if I kill my feelings and I'm a living sacrifice because I'm pushing down these feelings, then he said, you know what? There's a payoff for you. Your enemy is going to be like putting, and I think the coals of fire are not like burning him up, but like, how many's ever been convicted over something you've done? And you're just like, I can't live with this. I have got to get this out. I've got to repent. And I think that's what he's talking about. Coals of fire that says, and to know that you're a part of that, that's going to bring conviction, that's going to bring healing and restoration because you've been a living sacrifice and you've humbled yourself before God. That's an awesome feeling, I think. Awesome feeling. It says, finally it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's an overcoming, isn't there? You can either be overcome by evil, and you can hang on to what you've got, or he said, you can change your philosophy, and you can do it God's way and overcome evil. I have a relative and they say, well, you know, and she's living trying to live a double standard life. And how many knows you can't live a Christ, you can't profess Christ and say, you know, go to church every Sunday and live like hell during the week. It's a bad place to be when we want to live in sin all during the week and hang on to sin. And they say, well, she's never really got over her daddy's death. He's been dead for several years now. And I hurt for people like that. You know, we've lost Janet's parents and all, but here's what I know. God will help us get over the loss of loved ones. You know, we just buried Stephen and Dina's mother last Saturday, a week ago. And I know that he'll help them and give them strength to get over that. But we cannot live on this, oh, he or she, we just can't get over it. Yes, you can. You need to change your philosophy. You need to agree with God's Word that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, and start changing your philosophy, getting over things, and being a person that somebody else would want to be around. Because you're a disciplined person, you're a person that will humble themselves and not just think about your own things. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, if you'll help enough people get what they want, you can have anything you want. All he's saying, you'll have so many friends and influence and so many ties that will just come back. That's the law of giving and receiving. I mean, those giving starts the receiving process. We want the receiving process to start the giving process, but it's the other way around. So let me encourage you, if you're struggling in an area, change your philosophy. There's some values there that you need to look at. And if there's an area in your life that you really struggle with, whatever it might be, health, finances, relationships, whatever it may be, mentally, emotionally, you struggle in an area, you need to tweak. Just start tweak. Ask the Holy Spirit and get into this and as you meditate on that particular area. Get into the Word of God and begin to tweak whatever it is. And ask the Holy Spirit, just tweak it for me. Help me change my thinking. Help me change my philosophy. In other words, help me change my values. They're wrong. I'm struggling in this area. And find freedom. Find freedom. I've been to different countries that they won't make a fraction of what we make. They don't live in houses like we live in. And I see the joy of the Lord on their face. So it's not about the stuff we have or don't have. But I caught myself even saying, you know, well, I want more and I want a better and I want a bigger and I want, you know. You know, you get a pool and you want an in-ground pool. You get a dog and you really want another kind of dog. You get a car and you wish you had a better car. Well, that's just the way we are. It's the way we are. Yeah. Contentment with godliness is great gain. See, there's your philosophy for where you are right now. Enjoy the day. Just get up and say, this is a great day. Change your philosophy. Be somebody that can be a friend. Father, thank you for helping us grow up today. I thank you, Lord, for tweaking us today. Areas that we're struggling in right now, Father, and we all have areas. I pray that you will help us to be open enough to say, Holy Spirit, come in and tweak me. Change me. Help me examine my values and my opinions and ideas and to change what needs to change today. Today, let me become a living sacrifice so that whatever area of life I'm looking at, there'll be contentment and there'll be peace. There'll be health and happiness. So we can be, so this church, so every person on the side of my, we can be people that will make great friends because we have a great outlook, because we have a great God that is meeting all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Prepare us, God, to be a group of people that will draw others to us, the way Jesus drew crowds around Him. Because we'll be concerned about their needs, we'll be concerned about what they're going through, and we'll have enough of God inside of us to touch them and make a difference of where they are. That's what drew people to Jesus, and we pray that that's what we'll become. We'll become the kind of person that people will come to because we care about them and we have the same kind of philosophy Jesus had about, I've come to seek and to save what was lost. I've come to mend brokenhearted and heal people. And in all of our sphere of influence, God, we ask you to help us to be that kind of a person. That's what we strive for, and we ask you to help us to become. And we thank you today for taking us up one notch higher today. Examine us, Holy Spirit, and help us to be honest with you in areas that we're struggling in. And reveal to us as we humble ourselves and become living sacrifices. Right now, Father, we ask you to just reveal answers and reveal solutions from your word. To tweak us so we can become all that you have fashioned us to be. And when we get home, we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, you've never made a confession of Christ or you need Jesus to be Lord in your life today, would you just lift your hand? I'd like to lead you in a prayer. You can just say it silently to the Lord. But don't leave like you came. Start the tweaking today. Is there anyone today and you need to change where you are? He can totally change your life today. Anyone? Yeah. Everyone's good today? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. If you raise your hand, just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Completely to you. I want you to be Lord in every area of my life. I repent from the way I've been, and I thank you for forgiving me. I receive your grace, and now you are Lord of my life completely. And I thank you, Lord, and I'll serve you till my dying breath. I say it by faith. I say it from my heart with all sincerity, Lord. And I thank you for being Lord and Savior of my life. Completely today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many's going to go and grow? Let's just go and grow. All right. Father, we pray blessing upon the people. We ask you to give them favor this week. Let the glory of God shine upon them. Use them for your glory. Let them be light and salt wherever they are to make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd like to meet you right over here. We've got a little gift for you, and thank you for coming today. God bless, and have a great week.